Welcome back to Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a look at Tuesday's top news. And after an exhausting week in London, France, Germany, Turkey, and more, President Obama had one final and unscheduled stop on his overseas journey.
You have given Iraq the opportunity to stand on its own as a democratic country. That is an extraordinary achievement, and for that, you have the thanks of the American people.
That's right, President Obama making a surprise visit to Camp Victory in Baghdad, speaking to soldiers at a former palace once inhabited by Saddam Hussein. Obama made that trip following meetings at the G20 summit in London, as well as other NATO meetings in Europe. Obama also once again, while in Baghdad, articulating his Iraq policy, saying he's looking forward to having U.S. troops out of Iraq by the end of 2010, and looking forward to the Iraqi government and Iraqi people handling more of their own responsibilities.
It is time for us to transition to the Iraqis. They need to take responsibility for their country and for their sovereignty.
Obama has set a 2010 deadline, as mentioned, for the withdrawal of U.S. combat forces from Iraq. General Ray Odierno is now the multinational commander of Allied forces in Iraq. He told the president that violence levels are down despite this week's deadly bombings. The presidential visit to Iraq is a new chapter in Obama's plan to start winding down the war he inherited from former President Bush. Presidential spokesman Robert Gibbs said the visit gives Obama a chance to see and spend time with the men and women who are serving their country so honorably halfway around the world. Meanwhile, as the president now makes his way home, he is likely to make another overseas trip back to the Middle East, the next one coming in June. Western diplomatic sources say he's expected to travel to Israel and the West Bank, but details of the trip have not yet been set in stone. While holding a town hall-style meeting with college students in Istanbul, Turkey, President Obama said he believes peace in the Middle East is possible. However, he noted compromises await both Israelis and Palestinians in order to get there. He emphasized, quote, "I think we have a sense of what those compromises should be and will be. Now what we need is political will and courage on the part of leadership," unquote. During the waning moments of his two-day stay in Turkey, Obama told the students that Middle East peace will be based on two states side by side. Back here at home on the political front, a federal judge has thrown out the corruption conviction that was announced last year against longtime Alaska Senator Ted Stevens. In Washington, correspondent Terry Moore has additional details.
Citing prosecutorial misconduct, U.S. District Judge Emmett Sullivan took the unusual step of ordering a criminal contempt investigation. An angry Sullivan accused prosecutors of withholding key evidence, calling their behavior shocking. Last week, new Attorney General Eric Holder asked Sullivan to overturn the case against the 85-year-old Stevens. In October, Stevens was convicted of lying on financial disclosure forms. While proclaiming his innocence, Senator Stevens then lost a close race for re-election. I'm Terry Moore in Washington.
In other Senate news, Connecticut's former Greenwich First Selectman Roger Pearson is said to be considering a challenge to longtime Democratic Senator Christopher Dodd in a primary next year. Many see Dodd as vulnerable in the aftermath of the AIG bonus flap and Dodd's own troubles with Countrywide Mortgage. His poll numbers have also shrunk, according to a Quinnipiac survey released just last week. Pearson tells the Stanford Advocate the electorate deserves a choice other than the five-term incumbent. He says Dodd has to take hits because many of the financial problems happened on his watch as Senate Banking Committee chairman. A recent poll also shows Dodd losing by double digits to his likely Republican opponent, former GOP Congressman Rob Simmons. Also, Al Franken widening his lead over Norm Coleman in the U.S. Senate recount in Minnesota. Yes, it's still going on. After 351 previously rejected absentee ballots were opened and counted in court this morning, Franken increased his overall lead over Coleman from 225 votes to 312. Neither the Coleman nor Franken campaigns challenged any of the ballots that were open and counted. There are other ballots that are still in play, but if Franken maintains his current lead, it's presumed that Coleman will then appeal the ruling to the Minnesota Supreme Court. At the U.S. Supreme Court, justices say voluntary confessions may not be used in a federal court if a suspect was held by authorities longer than 6 hours before admitting to a crime. In the ruling issued Monday, Justice David Souter spoke for the majority when he said questioning by police, quote, "isolates and pressures the individual," unquote. The 5-4 decision sets aside the confession of Johnny Corley, who'd confessed to robbing a Norristown, Pennsylvania credit union after 2 days of questioning by the FBI. He was subsequently convicted of the heist, even though the confession was the only evidence against him. He was sentenced to 14 years in prison. The 6-hour limit will only apply to federal cases. On Wall Street today, stock prices dropping sharply as investors worried about corporate earnings. Some analysts think quarterly earnings for major companies will be off by about 1/3. The Dow Jones plunged 186 points Monday to finish at 7790, the NASDAQ off 45 to close at 1562, and the S&P 500 was down 20 points to finish at 816. Oil settled at $49.18 a barrel, down $1.87 from Monday's close. Still ahead on Dateline Washington, why you are more optimistic about where this economy is heading. We'll also find out what's wrong with government bureaucracy. And when we come back, we'll talk with Matt Staver of Liberty Council about Vermont legalizing gay marriage today. Stay tuned.